إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the subject of tawakkul which we have been doing. Tawakkul is to keep your end of the bargain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yasin, أَلَمَا أَحَدِ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O descendants of Adam, Bani Adam, have you forgotten the Ahad? Did you forget the covenant? Did you forget the promise you made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you will not worship shaitan. That you will not obey shaitan. وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي and obey me. And worship me. هذا صراط مستقيم. This is the correct path. This is the path of istiqamat. I remind myself and you that trust comes from, trust doesn't come by itself. You don't trust somebody on day one. You trust somebody after some history. And you trust somebody only when that history is positive. So if you have been dealing with someone and you find that you always get good behavior from that person, that whenever you trust the person with something, that he fulfills the trust, then trust builds. It takes a lifetime for trust to build. It takes one incident for that trust to be destroyed. To go back to the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which we have been mentioning, we see this issue of fulfilling the covenant, of fulfilling the trust in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is the covenant? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ani bodhuni. Obey me, make my ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave his wife Hajar and her and their newborn son Ismail alayhi salam in the Valley of Makkah, of what was going to be Makkah. So here is a hukum, which if we just look at the hukum without the background of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the hukum by itself, here is a hukum that makes no sense at all. Because here you have somebody who prayed for as a child for so many years, and at an advanced age he was given a child, and then the baby is a newborn baby, still not even weaned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the hukum, go and leave them. There is no promise attached to that hukum. There is nothing to say, leave them, this will happen, that will happen, nothing. Go leave them. And this is the fulfillment of the covenant. This is where the test comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is our job? Obey Allah. Obey Allah whether or not the order makes sense. Obey Allah whether or not you like the order. Obey Allah whether the order is convenient or not convenient. No conditions. Allah said, do this, we do this. Sami'na wa ata'na. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is given the hukum, go and leave your son and wife in this place. Ibrahim alayhi salam goes and leaves them. He was given no explanation. He can give no explanation. So he turns around and walks away. Now see the same mental mindset, and that is why it's important for the whole family to be together in this. See the same mindset with his wife, our mother Hajar alayhi salam. She asks him, did your Rabb tell you to do this? The first question, natural question, you are leaving somebody in the wilderness without any support. It's not even as if they have any food or nothing, just bare minimum. Then she says, is this your Rabb's hukum? And he only nods, he didn't even say yes or no, he just nods his head. She says, then go. Because if he has ordered, then he will not allow this to go waste. He will not allow us to perish. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a Nabi, this lady is not a Nabi, where does this yaqeen come from? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of Anbiya and other people, non-Anbiya. To show that the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the job of Anbiya alone. Anbiya came to show the way of how it is to be done. But the job is for everybody. So sometimes when we talk about the seerah and we give examples from Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people, they try to escape and they say, well, you know, after all, he was a Nabi. So he did it. But this is not a valid argument. He was a Nabi. He did it to show us how to do it. He did not do it because it is exclusive to him. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not exclusive to the Anbiya. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the job of every human being. Nabi or not Nabi. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us examples of Anbiya and people who are not Anbiya. Hajar alayhi salam was not a Nabi. Maryam alayhi salam was not a Nabi. Allah gave us examples of women. Allah gave us examples of men. The man you heard in the ayat of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the man who came and who invited his people to obey the Anbiya. He was not a Nabi. The Anbiya were different, but this man came. He was not a Nabi, but he is inviting people, obey the Anbiya. Why do you disobey the Anbiya? Why do you do this? Even to the extent of losing his life in the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Jannah. So the point is that Nabi or not Nabi, our job is to fulfill the covenant. And have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not allow this to go to waste. Then what does Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only does He not allow it to go to waste, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives these people a daraja which cannot be exceeded. Highest of darajat, Anbiya. He made Ismail alayhi salam a Nabi. He used Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam to build his house, the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made the action of the mother of Ismail alayhi salam into a rukun of Umrah and Hajj. There is no Umrah without Sa'i. There is no Hajj without Sa'i. Sa'i is whose job? Is whose action? Not the action of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He did not do this action. The action of a woman who was not a Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that action one of the arkan of Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Imam al-Anbiya, did this action. This is the izzah. And this izzah is based on what? On the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second issue, when we talk about parenting, we say that the job of parenting is not the job alone of the mother, alone of the father. Both of them have to do it. Fathers must take interest in the upbringing of their children. You can't just say, I've got my shop, I've got my job, I'm working, leave the child. No. Fathers have to do it. But in the case of Ismail alayhi salam, what are you seeing? Where is the father? No sign of the father. Father left them and disappeared. What we know from the Quran is when did Ibrahim alayhi salam come? After that? When the son was able to walk, meaning that he was still a small boy, but several years. So the first few years of his life, Ismail alayhi salam did not even see his father. Yet, what kind of son did he turn out to be? Definitely the credit goes to the mother, but the credit has to go to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, who created that environment where the son was taken care even though the father was not there. The son was taken care to the extent that when, and tomorrow inshallah we'll talk about that, when Ibrahim alayhi salam sees the dream and so on, he has a conversation with his son which is incredible. I've mentioned this so many times. You just reflect on those ayat of the Quran, you say, how is it possible that here is a man who is in his 80s, maybe close to 90 years old, he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Khalilullah, and he is talking to a little boy like as if he is talking to an equal. As if he's talking to an equal, and tomorrow we'll talk about that some more. He's not talking to him as an equal, assuming that. No, he knows. He knows very well, if I talk to my son like this, my son understands what I'm saying. And the reply that the son gave proves that he was right. How did this happen? Because of the obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us another example of this in Surah Al-Kahf, where the issue of the Musa alayhi salam and Khidr, where the treasure is buried under the wall, and when Khidr alayhi salam gives the explanation of why he built this wall. What does he say? Abu Huma Salih. He says the father of those boys was a Salih. Father was nowhere there. Father had died long back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected their legacy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his man to do the job. The wall is falling down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Khidr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Musa. The wall is being built by whom? Allah even sends. Why? Because the man was, Allah did not say his father was a Nabi. No, father was a Salih. He was a good man, he was a Salih. He was an man who was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the affairs, even though the man has died and he's gone, the children are yatama, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of them. So keeping up our end of the bargain is our job. And keeping up the end, our end of the bargain with trust means that you do that whether or not you are seeing any signs of something happening in your favor. No, you do your job. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife and son there, there was no sign that he will ever see them back alive. No sign. What was the guarantee? There's no guarantee. There was almost everything else. I mean, if you logically think about it, there was every reason that when he went back, both of them would have died and gone, and Allah knows what would happen to them. But that is the whole meaning of trust. The meaning of trust is that you trust when there is... Where is the trust if I am seeing the sign? Trust means you trust when there is no sign. And you trust because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. That is why ta'alluq with Allah and knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so critical with respect to tawakkul and with respect to building of trust. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the mutawakkilun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have tawakkul, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave great bashara, and I mentioned yesterday, I will mention that hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once in a gathering, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 70,000 will enter Jannah without hisab. 70,000 will enter Jannah without hisab. The sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are the mutawakkilun. They are those who have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the sign of these people? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are the people who do not use ta'wiz, who do not use any amulets, who do not use any of these kinds of things. These are the mutawakkilun who have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sahabi, Ukasa, got up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua, I should be among them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are among them. Another sahabi stood up, Ya Rasulullah, for me also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, Ukasa has gone. He has taken the lead. That's it. Now, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the mutawakkilun and to make us among those 70,000. Wallah alam, even if it is 70,000, we are only asking for one seat for each of us. Inshallah, if Allah wishes. But the key thing is mutawakkilun. Who are the people of people who are on tawheed, who do no shirk, no bidat, none of these, amulets and tawis and this and tying one thing in the hand and one thing around the neck and one thing around the ankle. No, none of this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among them who, inshallah, will be granted Jannah without hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.